You have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Just as we, or as you are turning and getting set, kind of the reasoning behind what I'm going to share with you is this morning, I tell you, since being here, the morning time that we have together on Sunday morning, the early morning worship time, has meant a lot to me. And I've come to grow to a greater appreciation of that time that we sit around the table and to worship the Lord and to spend that time focusing on Him. And this is kind of where this is leading from and what I want to share with you this morning. But we'll read a little passage here and then you'll have to buckle up because I got 14 points for you. So if you got a pen and paper, you might want to get it out and be ready to take a few points down, because I know you're not going to remember all 14, but they're just short one words. But Hebrews 9, verse 11, and we're going to read down through to the end of the chapter, so we'll get a little bit to read, but just bear with me and you'll get a bit of a groundwork for where we're going this morning and what we have to share from the Word of God. Verse 11 says, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and of the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament, and that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, and every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both with the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should purify with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, how to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world he hath appeared to put away the sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's just ask the Lord to help us this morning as we consider his word. Father, it's always a privilege to be able to open your word. We thank you for this time this morning where we can take your word and to learn some truths from it. Father, may your Holy Spirit speak to the hearts of the people here, and not only to them, but to myself first and foremost. Father, just watch over us. Just give us a good morning. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. If I was to say this to you, it's in you to give, what would come to your mind? This is something we cannot live without. 4.5 million people need this every year. Someone needs this every 2 seconds. 1 in 7 entering the hospital needs it, or they require it. We have about a gallon to a gallon and a half of it in us. There are 3 main types of cells making up this. There's red, white, and platelets. It carries carbon dioxide, oxygen, and other nutrients through it. It's typically, when we see it, it's a color red. Some people will faint at the sight of it. There's disease associated with it. The first mention of it in the Bible is found in Genesis 4:10. And I'm sure by now you all know what we're talking about. We're talking about blood. One of the most vital components to the human body is what? Blood. Without it, there's no life. One could not survive without blood. We can also say that both physically and spiritually, because without the blood, there is no life. One would not survive without the blood. And you know, the number one reason why people donate blood is they want to help others. And I thought about that. The number one reason why the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood was to help us, to help you and to me. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We were, and some of us are still, in a helpless state without that saving blood. We're in the need of forgiveness of sins by the shed blood of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that day on the cross of Calvary. What I was thinking of this morning, and what I have kind of entitled this as, there is power in the blood of Christ. And you know, when I was considering this, I said, well, where do you start? Well, let's start kind of at the beginning. In the beginning, God created everything. And he made everything what? Perfect. Everything was created was good. It was very good, God said. He looked around, everything was very good. God created everything. Formed man out of the dust of the ground. Took Eve from Adam. Then all of a sudden, what happened? Sin entered the world. And we find this, if you want to flip back to Genesis 3, I want to read you one verse there in Genesis 3, verse 7. Once sin entered into the world, it says this, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Once man sinned, sin entered into the world. It was interesting to realize that the first thing that they did was they made fig leaves and sewed them together to make clothing. So what were, in essence, what were they doing? Doing their own thing, coming up with their own solution to their problem, doing it man's way. And then we find God coming to them, trying to find them in the garden, calling out to them. And then we find in down in verse 21, God's way. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. So we have man's way, making his own clothes, making his own way. And what do we find out today even in this world? All through history, man is doing what? His own thing. Trying to get to heaven, trying to be declared righteous in God's eyes his own way. And that's not what God intended, and that's not what God wanted. In verse 21, God made coats of skins and clothed them. So where did that come from? It came from a sacrifice. It came from a blood sacrifice. Because let's face it, without a sacrifice and without that, there's shedding of blood. It takes place. There's no way around it. When you have a sacrifice, there's bloodshed. And God wanted things done his way, not our way. Not man's way. There is power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have 14 points for you this morning. The first one is found in Ephesians 1:7. So we're going to run around the scriptures a little bit, so you're going to have to be prepared to kind of move around, get the pages going, and I'm going to run with you because I didn't write them out. I'm going to read them for you. So Ephesians 1:7 says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So number one is redemption. We have, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is redemption. What does that mean? To redeem. To gain possession of by paying a price for. When you redeem something, you have to buy it back. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. I want you to listen to me for just a second. If you miss the other 13 points that I'm going to go through this morning, don't miss this one. the Lord Jesus Christ by the death of his Son, or by the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, by his shed blood, paid the price for our sins, and he bought us back. He bought us back from what? We were once his possession in the garden. We sinned and we separated ourselves from him. And by the shed blood of his Son, he bought us back. For by one man sin entered into the world, and we were separated from God. The only way we could be brought back and bought back to him is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood on Calvary. And we have that choice to either accept or reject that gift this morning. It's a free gift to you and to me, but it cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. The greatest price that ever was paid was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Salvation is free on our part, but we know that it cost God his only Son. And I trust this morning that you've made that decision in your life for him, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you were to die today, that you'd be on your way to heaven. And if you have not, you need to make that choice today to accept him, to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price for us, for you and for me. Let's go over to Acts 20. Our second one is purchased. In Acts 20, verse 28 says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." I was thinking about that in this little bit of the verse here, what a responsibility it is for the oversight of the church here to feed the flock, to minister to the people. And we ought to thank the Lord for our elders here in this assembly, for the steadfastness, for them remaining true to the Word of God, for them wanting to feed the flock, to look after them. We are privileged to have these men in their godly example to us. And we were purchased with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought not to take that lightly. It was a great sacrifice he paid, a huge cost. When something is purchased, there's always a cost associated with it. And in this case, it was the life of the Lord Jesus. Again, he is the most expensive gift ever given. And you know what? There's even, when we think about that, there's even a cost associated with the oversight here for their care and for their love, because someday they're going to answer for how they are in their lives towards us as sheep and as they shepherd us. And it's a great responsibility they have, and we ought to pray for these men that they remain pure and upright in the things of God. Ephesians 2:11. Flip over to there for our third one. Ephesians 2:11 says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the times ye were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world." Listen to verse 13. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So thirdly, we are made nigh. Remember how we once were. We were aliens, we were strangers. We were separated from God, having no hope. Now he draws us close to him, to himself. We are brought near, we are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing that is, to know that we are now in Christ. And all that we have is who? Is found in who? In Christ. And that's a wonderful truth today. Romans 5:9. A lot of you could quote this verse right off the top of your head. Let's look at Romans 5:9. Romans 5:9 says this, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So fourthly, we are justified because of God's love for us in our sinful state. Christ died for us, shed his blood, and we are justified. We are declared blameless and saved from wrath from that awful place called hell. Sometimes we forget about that. And sadly, we sometimes even leave it out because we don't want to talk about it anymore. The reality of it is those that die without Christ end up in that awful place called hell. And we also forget that it's not just for a short period of time. It's for eternity. And how long is eternity? Eternity's forever. And we forget about that. And when we stop and think and consider that, how much more should we be willing to share Christ with people around us? You know, that's an awful thing to know that somebody we might know would end up in that place. It ought to just stir in our hearts just a little bit to be a little more diligent in sharing Christ and thinking, you know, how's my life? Am I living the life, the example, and the testimony of those around me that I ought to? That they see the hope that's in us, that we may be able to share Christ. We are justified, we are blameless, we are saved from that wrath. We often refer to this, to being justified, as just as if we had never sinned. We now are seen by God through the eyes of Jesus. What a wonderful thing that is. Let's look at Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20 says this, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether be the things in earth or the things in heaven." So number five, we have peace. Because of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, we have peace through the blood of the cross. We have peace, the absence of war. You know, I was saved at an early age, so I can't relate to this, but I thought of this where I've heard it a number of times through the years, where people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. They accept Christ into their hearts at an older age. They may have gone through some sinful things in their lives. And when they say they accept Christ into their heart, there's like a burden lifted from them. There's a peace that overcomes them. And they know that the peace of God is there. And that comes through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a peace, there's a calmness there. There's even a calmness over the struggle of that decision, because you and I both know that making that decision for some people is not an easy thing. They spend a lot of time contemplating it, and you've heard of it where people are in church services and they feel the need to accept Christ, and yet they're hanging on. They just don't want to make that decision. But when they do, there's a peace that overcomes them that only God can give. There's a peace in their lives that's amazing. Think of that song, "Burdens are what? Lifted at Calvary." And that's an amazing truth to know, that there's a peace, there's an assurance there in our lives through the work of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over to where we read this morning in Hebrews 9, and kind of focusing in a little bit on more on verse 14. We could start at verse 11, but we'll read verse 14. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Back in the Old Testament, and it was referred to this morning, Dave talked a little bit about it when he was sharing this morning about the blood of the lambs and of goats, where they sprinkled it on the doorposts. And if back then how the blood of bulls and goats was used to cover the sins of the people, how much more shall the blood of Christ cover our sins once and for all? What an amazing thing to know that our sins are covered once and for all. It's not just better. A lot of the times through Hebrews you find the word "better" used. I liken it to the Lord Jesus Christ being the best. He is the best solution to all man's situations and problems. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not only just better, but it's the best, even over and above that of the sacrifices that were made on the behalf of the people years ago. If you take that center phrase, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience, to cleanse, to purify your conscience, the part of your mind that deals with the right and the wrong. He wants you and I to be totally focused on Him, to have a purged conscience. We teach kids in sports, and I can use curling as an example because my kids are curling, and they use it to get kids to focus on the task that is at hand. And how much more ought we to focus on our task that is at hand, to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus on living our lives pure before the Lord. And there was a little song I was thinking about, and I'll share with you in a few minutes about it, but about the blood of the Lord and how the blood just covered in the Old Testament times for a short period of time. Let's look at Hebrews 10:19. Just flip over a page in your Bible, probably. Hebrews 10:19. We have access for number 7. Hebrews 10:19 says this: "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." We know in the Old Testament, access was granted only to the priests and to the high priests into the holy place and the holiest of holies. And they did that once a year, but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we now have boldness to enter into that holy place. When Jesus hung on the cross that day, He cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and the temple in the veil in the temple was twain from top to bottom. And as you know, the veil was woven as one piece of material. So it was not something that they could easily be torn, that somebody could just walk up and tear. But it was something that was twain from top to bottom. And the day the Lord Jesus Christ died and He cried on the cross, that veil was torn in two. That we had access now by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to enter into that place. And I was thinking of a song that, I think I have it here somewhere, just the words of it. It says this. Called "Take Me In." It says, "Take me past the outer courts, to the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see Your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests to sing Your praise. I hunger and I thirst for Your righteousness, and it's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am." I often wonder, is that our desire to be sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to be into that holy place with Him, to want to get to know Him better each and every day, to want to strive to live our lives for Him? Could you see the people back then always wanting to get to know the Lord better, but couldn't gain access to that place? To that holy place, but yet we do through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing. Number 8, we have sanctified. Hebrews 13:12. It says this: "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." We are set apart. We are to be holy, consecrated people. He wants us to be clean, to be pure. And only through His blood can this take place. And you know, this verse here, for me, "Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood." The Lord Jesus Christ made His death on the cross and the shedding of His blood personal. It was for you and for me. My dad used to sing a song, when he was on the cross, I was on His mind. And I often thought about that, how true that is. And what an amazing fact to know that when He hung there on the cross, He was thinking of each and every one of us. That someday we'd have the opportunity to accept Him. And He hung there for you and for me. We cannot fathom and think of what He went through on the cross that day. We talked a little bit about it at youth group on Friday night because we're going through the book of Mark and we're talking about that. about how we have no idea what the Lord Jesus Christ is suffering he went through on the cross. Not just the physical pain, but the emotional pain that he went through. Bearing the sins of everyone from eternity past to eternity in the future. We just have no idea what he went through. It's mind-boggling to me to think that the King of Heaven did that for you and for me. It's personal. He was willing to give his life up for you and for me. If we turn over to 1 John 1, we have one there that's cleansed. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. 1 John 1, 7 says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He makes us clean. Not that we will never sin again, but he makes us clean from the power, the forgiveness of sins, to be debt-free in the eyes of God. Mrs. Robbins at MBBI, when I was there, she often referred to 1 John 1, 9 as the Christian's bar of soap. It's something to be done, what? On a daily basis. Every morning you get up, what do? You wash up. So ought that to be the same in our lives. We ought to take 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive them. But we have to ask for forgiveness. He forgives our sins. It ought to be that daily thing. So often we forget about that. We think that we'll just come on Sunday morning and make things right. But it ought to be a daily washing, a daily confession of our sins for him. And the Bible makes it very clear that his Son cleanses us from all sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5, where he loved us. It says this, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Lord Jesus Christ did this out of love. No other way to put it. But he did this out of love for you and for me. He washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, it's like taking that old, I liken it to taking that old washboard years ago. Some of the older folk will remember the old washboard. I found one up in the basement of my house that we bought a few years ago. Found the old washboard up there, and it's likened to that, where we take that and we take the bar of soap and we scrub the clothes clean. The Lord Jesus Christ did that with our sins. We know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. There's probably countless number of verses probably flooding through your mind right now in regards to the love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us that are written in his word. Because we know that he loves us. Even when you go back to the account of Adam and Eve, when God went looking for them in the garden. Sin was there, but the Lord went looking for them because he loved them. He still loved them, unconditionally. He unconditionally loves you and me this morning, no matter what. No matter our sinful state, no matter what we're into or what we're involved in, God loves us. And he loves us in spite of our sin. That doesn't say we can just go do whatever we want, but we still know the fact remains that God loves each and every one of us. Doesn't love the sin, but he loves the sinner. He sent his Son out of love for you and for me. Born in a manger, the King of Glory died that cruel death on the cross for you and for me and shed his blood out of strictly love for each and every one of us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What an amazing truth. Revelation 7, 14. Again, another verse referring to washed. 7:14 says this, "And this I say unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of the tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." There are a lot of claims in the world. I just jotted this down. There are a lot of claims in the world today for cleaning products to be the whitest and the purest, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will make things gleaming white. The robes shall be white. The sins that were as scarlet shall be as white as snow. The amazing truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ did that day. Revelation 12, verse 10 and 11. By His blood, we will overcome. Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says this, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." The accuser of the brethren shall be overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He has no power over the blood, for it covers all, it conquers all. The war was won on the cross of Calvary that day, and the battle belongs to the Lord. The victory is His through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan thought he won that day on Calvary. But then on Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ rose again and won the victory for us through His blood. Romans 3:25. Regards to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is a propitiation. Romans 3:25 says this, "Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God." Thus the work of Calvary, the shed blood of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, God had appeared satisfied by that work that day, to declare the righteousness for the remission of sins. The work was complete on the cross of Calvary and completely satisfied by the Father. He was our substitute for our sins. We in ourselves cannot gain entrance into heaven. Romans 3:23 makes it very clear, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." On our own, we cannot gain entrance into heaven. But through the blood, through the work of Christ on the cross, the Father was completely satisfied in the work. And finally, number 14, John 19:34. John 19:34. It really doesn't say these two words in this verse, but it's certainly implied there, and it's poured out. John 19:34. "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Make no mistake, the Lord Jesus Christ that day bled for you and for me. What an awful thing that took place that day on the cross, and even leading up to the cross. If you were to go back to Isaiah 52, it states there that His visage was marred beyond recognition. They beat our Lord Jesus Christ that bad, He was hardly recognizable as a man. And I don't know about you, but it just stirs in me to realize how much He did for me, what He went through, how much they beat Him and tortured Him, and how He hung there in disgrace for you and for me. It ought to stir in our hearts to have a deeper appreciation for what He went through. I don't know how more clearly or plainly I can say it than that. And when He was there on the cross, And the soldier went up to him and pierced his side. There probably wasn't a whole lot left of him with his blood because of what he went through up to this point. His blood was poured out that day for you and for me. I don't want to make it grotesque or to be anything like that. That's not my point. My point is just to make us realize what he went through for us. How grateful and thankful we ought to be and appreciation we should have for him. He loved us. He loved us that much that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. There's power in the blood. Life-cleansing power in the blood. There's not only physical life and blood, as I stated in the start, but there's spiritual life. Have you placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Has his shed blood covered your sins this morning? If you were to walk out of here this morning, step out into eternity, where would you end up? The choice is up to you. I can't make that decision for you. I can tell you, I can warn you, but I can't make that choice for you. Only you can make that. There is power in the blood. I trust this morning we all would have a better appreciation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for each and every one of us that day on the cross of Calvary. Let's pray. Father, we once again are so thankful. And those two little words sometimes coming from us to you may sound repetitive and maybe even to a point meaningless, but we have no other way of expressing our gratitude to you but than to say thank you. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross and for him so willingly to come, to shed his blood, and then ultimately then to raise the third day, now seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, where you look through him to us. And we're just so thankful that all that we have, all that we ever hope to be, is in Christ. Father, may we be stirred this morning just to consider how we ought to live our lives pure, holy, acceptable, a sweet savor unto you. That as we rub shoulders with people each and every day, that they will see something different about us. That they may ask the hope that lies within us, that we may take the opportunity and share Christ. Not always easy, but it's needful. And we know that when those moments arise, that your Holy Spirit will help each and every one of us, give us the words to say. We just ask that we will seize the opportunity. Father, now as we go our separate ways this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it can speak volumes to us. Just watch over us. May we have a wonderful afternoon, be with the two men as they share tonight. We thank you for them. We just thank you again and praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. In his holy name, amen.